Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, we read these words, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is the word of the living God. We turn this evening to our study of the Heidelberg Catechism and come now to Lord's Day 47, which, as you see it in the insert in your bulletin, is the examination of the first petition that we come to in the Lord's Prayer. And the question is, what does this first request mean? Hallowed be your name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Beloved in the Lord, this evening, as we look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, we see that it focuses upon not our needs, but it focuses our thoughts and our hearts on the singular, most important thing that we could do in prayer. We ask above all else that God is glorified. Note, when it says, hallowed be your name, that is passive, that is, we are not the actor. It is not, therefore, something that we do that causes God's name to be hallowed. We are taught to pray and ask that God would hallow or glorify his name, that he would so govern all things, the affairs of this whole world, whatever they may be, social, economic, political, national, international, the affairs of the church and the affairs of the world and the things that concern each of us personally, that our whole life and all things in it, first and above all, in everything, that his name might receive all the glory and all the praise. God is to be glorified in all things. That's the heart of the message of the petition of the Lord's Prayer. Let's examine that petition a little bit more carefully. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer calls us to have a holy love for God. If we don't know God, and if we don't know him, we can't love him, then we cannot pray this prayer at all. And God will not be glorified in and through that prayer. God is infinite. We are finite. We cannot comprehend him fully or have fellowship with him at all unless God has first revealed himself to us. And he has done so by the manifestation of himself through his word in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is revealed in the pages of Scripture and in the powerful gospel of grace. He is revealed to us as the holy God who has come to us in the flesh, the one who is the mediator between God and men, who bore our sins and took them away forever, the one in whom we have righteousness and eternal life. And through him, that is Jesus, we come to God and we are enabled to pray. And so when we pray that God's name would be honored, we come through Jesus to pray this prayer. Without knowing him, we could never find him out. We can only know him through the self-revelation of his word contained in the scripture. And praise God, he's revealed himself to us through his gospel as the great God who is above all, God most high, the covenant God who is in covenant with his people and who communes and fellowships with his people through grace. That's the foundation of prayer. And upon that foundation, we are invited then to pray as Jesus instructs us in this model prayer. And our supreme concern then should be for the glory of this God who has come to us in grace. We are called to glorify his name. I think the writer of the Catechism is correct when he says at the very end of this exposition that God would always be honored and praised. And I think that the Catechism writer means in everything, even in the difficulties of our lives, lifting up and glorifying the name of God. That should be the chief purpose of our prayers. But now, we do not make God glorious. There's nothing that we can do to add to the glory of God. God is already all glorious. It's not as though if we do this and in some way we say we are going to glorify the Lord, that he's going to get something that he didn't have before. Because if that were the case, then he wouldn't be God. God is complete in and of himself. He is Lord. But what we are doing when we are praying and causing his name to be glorified is that we are treating his name with respect and glorifying it, recognizing him and honoring him rightly and exalting his holiness, treating his name as supremely holy. We hold God's name as holy over against everything else in this entire world. We desire that God's name be set aside and exalted and glorified above all else. And we submit our lives to the glory of God in all things, wanting his glory in the midst of everything, no matter what comes. That's how we glorify the Lord. And so the point of the first petition is simply this, that the honor of God must dominate our hearts. Now, think about that for a moment. When we pray and we often receive prayer requests, people will say, well, I will pray for you. And we are bringing our prayers and our petitions to God. And that's right that we should do so. But the supreme desire of our hearts in prayer is not to just receive or to gain or get things from God, but it is that through all things, no matter what, God would be exalted. Can we really suppose that a person is sincere who is really not dedicated to the glory of God? How could such a person pray rightly if the glory of God is not uppermost in his or her heart? How serious is the person who would pray and yet would allow God's name to be blasphemed? How is God honored and how is God glorified in our lives when we take his name in vain? You see, he is not glorified in these things. The supreme goal, the highest goal that we should have is to bring glory to the name of God. We don't bring glory to God's name when we do not obey his word. We do not bring glory to God's name when we do not subject our lives to the truth that he has revealed in scripture. But we honor his name when we submit to his word and when we glorify him in all things, submitting to that truth of the word that says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We are called to glorify Him, to praise Him, to acknowledge that He alone is God, the God who has created us, elected us, redeemed us, saved us by His gospel, regenerated our sinful hearts by the power of His grace alone, sanctified us by His Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and for this we glorify the Lord. The supreme goal is to glorify God, to respect Him above all. That is the petition of this prayer, a request that God would give us the grace that enables us to recognize His holy name, to rightly honor that name in all of our lives, and to glorify Him in all things. It's grace that enables us to love God. It's grace that enables us to know God. And when we know God by grace, it's grace that enables us to pray and to bring honor to God's name. To honor Him, and the writer of the Catechism had it exactly right, with our thoughts, with our words, and with our actions. Remember, the Lord's Prayer comes in the context of this instruction that the Lord gives. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Well, they were praying, right? They were going through the motions of what we might consider to be prayer, although I don't think we would say that it was true prayer. And He says, don't do what they do, standing on the street corner and in the synagogues. He says, you go into the room and close the door and pray to your heavenly Father in secret. And then when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Jesus gives us adequate instruction here about how not to pray. That was not honoring God with words or thoughts that He was referring to. That was dishonoring God. And He says, don't do those things. We are called to honor God with our thoughts, with our words, and our actions, to hallow His name in all things, above all things, and glorify Him. That is the meaning of this petition of the Lord's Prayer. But now that has an implication for our lives. If we are going to maintain the holiness of God in thoughts, words, actions, then our lives are going to reflect the fact that we live for the glory of God. We should live holy lives that honor God. Our life should not contradict our prayer. Our life should not contradict what we say, that we have been redeemed to be the precious children of God. In our lives, in every circumstance of life, the chief goal of our life should be the glory of God, whether it's depression and suffering, sorrow and want. No matter what it is, we do not rebel. We seek the glory of God in the midst of the good as well as the bad, because God's glory is uppermost. And so speech and life will go hand in hand. When you find the Westminster Shorter Catechism and its treatment of prayer, you will find that it says, as well, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The chief end of man is not to live a good, full, satisfying life, die at a ripe old age, and have lots of children and grandchildren, and have enough money in the bank when he dies to have a good funeral. The chief end of man in this world and in this life is to live to the glory of God. And the happiness that we enjoy as creatures of God will come when we honor God's name. God has made us for His glory. That's why God made Adam and Eve and created humanity, that He might have covenant fellowship with us, not with the animals, not with the creatures that were created, but the supreme goal and glory of the creation of mankind was that there would be one made in the image of God, that he might have fellowship with the Creator and the Lord of glory. And so God is the supreme happiness of human beings and the source of all joy. Have you ever wondered why some people are not happy? Truly, I think the real answer for some people who are not happy in life is simply that they do not live for the glory of God. They don't know Him. If they don't know Him, they can't worship Him, and if they don't worship Him, they're supremely unhappy people by definition, because people, human beings, were made for God's glory. We were made to find our satisfaction in our fellowship with God. Our fulfillment as a human being is that we are in fellowship with the Creator and the Lord of glory. Our happiness and our joy comes as human beings when the blessing of God comes upon us in our lives. We live for the glory of God. And if we're not doing that, then there will be no happiness, there will be no true joy. So speech and life need to go hand in hand. Excuse me. Our walk and our talk must match one another. We are to be holy in heart as well as in what we say. And as image bearers of God, we are to reflect our God in all that we do and in every way. How do you reflect the glory of God in your life? Well, you honor God and you glorify God in your life, first and foremost, when you have come to that point where you worship Him and glorify Him as the Lord. The scripture says in Malachi, "My name will be great among the nations." We reflect the glory of God when we make His name great in our lives and in our hearts, and when we serve Him according to His word, when we serve Him and are obedient to His word, which tells us that we are salt and light in this world, and we are involved in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You reflect the glory of God and you honor Him when you obey His word. Not only when you worship Him and when your life is consistent with the testimony of one who is saying, "I believe that God is my Savior through Christ Jesus," but we are also called to obey His word, living as His image bearers in this world, submitting our lives in every facet, whether it's at work or play, school or business, politics or not, everywhere we are and everything that we do, we submit our life to His word. We live in our homes as faithful and godly individuals, building a dynasty of faith in our homes and families, with the goal of leading our children to know and trust Jesus Christ and the generations to come. We know and love the things of the kingdom, and so we support the kingdom causes with our gifts and with our giving. And we give ourselves to the kingdom work, dedicating ourselves to be God's servant in this world, the world that He told us in Adam to be caretakers of it and to have dominion over it. That is the world that He has called us to live in and to serve and to bring honor to Him through the way we live our lives in obedience to His word. And once again, it's grace and grace alone that enables us to live by this holy will of God. God's grace enables us to subject our wills to His will. God's grace enables us to live in contact with His word and to take that word into our hearts, to sanctify our hearts and our minds, to enable us to live a holy life for the glory of Christ. God's grace gives us the desire and the will to live for His glory and to submit to His purposes and to desire the things that honor and glorify Him. Excuse me. We honor God not only as the Creator and Lord of all, but as the ruler of the universe, but we honor Him as the sovereign King and Redeemer and Savior of His people. He deserves the highest allegiance in all of our lives. That's what this petition means in reality. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are saying that our allegiance is to God above all else, that we will honor and glorify him, that others, when they see us, will recognize that we live for the glory of God, and they will give glory to our Father in heaven. And if God is our God for the sake of Jesus Christ, we can join our voice with the church of all ages and praise and glorify his name in every way. We can, with God's people, bring glory to his name. Blessing, honor, glory, power be to him, says the Word, who sits upon his throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's the goal that's before us. That's the task we have. That's the heart's cry, if you will, in this petition and in this prayer. God be glorified. And when we apply that to ourselves, we are saying, God be glorified in my life, in everything that you do, in every way, in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions, in every way. May your name be praised. May your name be glorified. That's what we must understand when we pray, "Hallowed be your name." Amen.